My grandpa turned 73 yesterday.
That's my father, who has received a lot of prayers from this congregation, so we're very thankful for that. And as you already know, Gina had the baby last week, and everyone is happy and healthy, so thank you for the prayers for that, too.
It is so good to be part of a worshiping and praying community. And I thank you for the support that you gave to me and my family last week. I went to the funeral of my nephew in Denver. We have prayed for him through the tour in Iraq, and lo and behold, he got shot at home in Denver. Thank you for your prayers, and I was able to see from the other side at my sister's home the beauty of her worshiping community, and also to be on the other side of what I'd like to call casserole Christianity, where a lot of dishes came in and they were filled with love. Thank you.
I'd like to ask prayers for my my stepmother, Carol Marburger. She was hospitalized this past week. She went into the hospital on Wednesday, or early Thursday morning, I believe, for heart issues. She has a heart valve issue that they're trying to resolve. She had a kidney transplant about 8 years ago, and so that's proving to be very difficult. So just prayers for her and my dad as he kind of holds the fort down at home. And also prayers for my Aunt Verna Beck, who is also hospitalized and has a mass on her pancreas that they are trying to figure out how, if it's cancerous or not, but they can't really take a close look at it until her the inflammation, she has a hernia inflammation that's kind of holding that up. So just prayers for her.
I'd like to ask prayers for Brooke, who is with his brother on a bicycle tour this week. So prayers for their safety, Michael and Brooke.
Hi, I want to thank God for all the people for the prayers they've done for me. They're working, thank God. And all the cards that I've gotten while I was on my little sabbatical, which wasn't a good one, but it's through Christ and the people here, my family. You are all my family, and I know that. And I pushed everybody away, and I asked God to give me the strength to keep me safe and keep bringing me back home. You know, I don't want to be alone, and I know that I'm not. And I want to thank everybody for that.
A prayer of thanksgiving for the life of George McGovern, died yesterday. Courageous American, courageous patriot, and as somebody, Mark Shields, the other night said, tried to keep us out of two wars, the first senator to oppose the war in Vietnam in the 1960s, and tried to keep us from going to Iraq earlier this century.
Any other prayers or joys or concerns?
We want to thank God about our daughter. She's going to be 1 year, and she got 1 year, but we're going to share the cake today after the worship service. And she got two surgeries, so we're going to thank God about this. Thank you, guys.
Any other joys or concerns?
There's a very large birthday cake for Miriam in the back, about the size of her, I think. Let us pray. Creator and creating God, you call forth life out of the depths of darkness, hope in the midst of challenge, spirit to guide all of life. In Christ, we would live and move and have our being, and we bring our prayers to you this day. for our world, for places we too seldom think about in war and tumult, with refugees and hunger and poverty. Make us mindful of our blessings as we attend to the needs and care for our world. We pray, O Lord, for this land and the rhetoric of these election days. Bring forth your wisdom upon those who would seek to lead, that your will and ways may further life for your people. We give thanks for the life and witness of George McGovern, a leader for many years. We give thanks, O God, this day for the joys of our lives, the blessings of these days, for this parents' weekend and reunions at Brown, for the joy of fun at the Fall Festival and new connections made and deepened, for the work of your people of faith gathered together in the synod meeting at Stony Point. We give thanks for Beatrice's testimony and celebration of Esther's safe return from Ghana, for the presence of God that we see abundantly with us in birthdays of Miriam, in this first birthday, in the miracle of Dave's father's birthday, Dawson's safe delivery, and Letitia's birthday as well. We give thanks for opportunities to see the world in new ways and places, and we pray for Brooke in this adventure of biking through the South. We give thanks for your presence with Melinda in bringing her back to this community of faith. We lift our prayers this day for all those who grieve in this time, for Dan Varon in the loss of his sister-in-law Joan this past week, for Jenny's mom, for the Lockharts and the support of his sister's family, Mary, in Wesley's death. We pray, O Lord, this day as well for those who need special healing powers in this time, for body, mind, or spirit, for Nancy Moreland, for Monica and Shirley Jones, for Walter and Junior, for Lois, for Gloria's continued recovery, for Carol Marburger and Aunt Myrna. We pray as well for those who are anxious in these days, waiting for test results, or in times of unemployment, or fears as they look to the future. We continue to lift our prayers for this community, O God, that we might be ever faithful to where you alone would lead us, for this time of transition to the arrival of our new interim co-pastor, for strength for his family in their move, for new opportunities to grow in reaching out to witness to your grace and power to a hurting world. Help us, O God, to be ever faithful disciples in the manner of our Lord Jesus Christ, who teaches us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite forward the children for the children's message this morning. All right. Are you all scrubbed up? Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning and welcome. Have a seat. Come on. Does anyone know what happened at the church here yesterday? Anyone? Yes, Leah. Fall Festival. And if you look around the congregation, can you see anyone who might have been helping at that fall festival? Do you see some people? You saw me? You saw me? Okay. Thank you. Well, but you thought I might be involved with it? You're right. You're right about that. Did you see the guy who brought the pumpkin? Yeah? You saw the guy who brought the pumpkin? Yeah? You know what? I was surprised that many of you, it looks like everyone took a bath last night, because many of you had face painting on your faces yesterday, right? But you're all clean and shiny today, so. Well, you know, it took a lot of people to make that fall festival happen. And who do you think was the most important person in making that happen? Eliza? No, probably your mom, actually. But, yes. Andrew? Yeah, he was important, too. Chrissy? God. God's always the answer, isn't it? Yes. Good choice there. Well, that's a good lead-in, actually, to the story that Pastor Jerison is going to be talking about this morning from Mark's gospel, because the disciples were looking for a way that they could follow Jesus more, that they could follow Jesus better in their lives. And they wanted to be the best disciple they possibly could, but they wanted Jesus to make sure that Jesus knew they were the best disciple of any of the disciples. So they said, two of them said, we would like to sit at your right hand and your left hand and to show how important we are in following where you would lead us. And Jesus said to them, he said, that's not what it's all about. It's about being a servant. It's about working together and finding a way to bring whatever gifts you have to do, that you have, into the mix that makes Jesus' will happen for the world. And so he tried to get them to think about that in a very different way. And yesterday's Fall Festival was a great example of that, because it wasn't just one or two people that made that happen. Although there were a couple people that were helping to organize and get a lot of us involved in it. But each person that participated in that festival brought a little piece of that puzzle. And you know, by the end of that afternoon or the end of that morning, remember when we came in the morning, it was kind of foggy? By the end of the day, the sun was shining brightly and it was really nice and warm. And I think that's a sign that indeed, as Chrissy said, God was there with us in that community. Will you say a prayer with me? God, we thank you that you help us to learn what it means to be a servant people, to not just be the most important person in the room, but to work together to do your will. Help us to learn that and to live that, as we think of that in small ways and big ways, in these days and in the days ahead. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may go down to your classes, ages 3 and above downstairs, and the high school class is upstairs this morning.
Morning. This morning's scripture is our New Testament lesson comes from Mark 10, verses 35 through 45, which can be found on your pew Bible on page 44 and in the large print Bible on page 57. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord.
You do not know what you are asking. Good morning. I feel so good this morning. Really, really. And I would like to thank you, Pastor Chris, Sharon, the worship committee, for the invitation to bring you today my preaching, the Word of God. And I would like to apologize because I don't bring my accent only the way I speak. Sometimes, and I found out recently that sometimes the way I express myself, sometimes there is some accent there. So, that's true, you know? And please, I want you to love me this morning. I know that we cannot love what or who we don't know yet. It's impossible. But I want you to love me today, right now, the same way I love you. And I'm pretty sure we will have time to know each other better. And as we grow in our knowledge about each other, our love will be even deeper. I truly believe that. That's the church. That's why I joined the church many years ago, and that's why I'm here today. I'm very practical, very practical. So forgive me, and love me. Intensely love me, because I love you intensely. I was cleaning my house the other day, my closet, my shed, and I was thinking to myself, my goodness, how many unnecessary things I brought into my life. Right? My goodness. And at the night, I was tired, still or already in bed. I was thinking to myself, oh boy, not only visible things, unnecessary things I brought into my life, but also invisible things, thoughts, impressions. And those thoughts and impressions truly built what I am today. And I was thinking about that. In my life at the church or in the church, I paid attention to much things, especially to what is accessory and not fundamental. I missed the point because I was so much involved with so much things, and I have to recognize and confess to you this morning that I made mistakes. I made mistakes. I should have paid attention to things, to fundamental things, to essential things. And what is essential as we read the Bible, as we understand church, as we define church, as we understand Christianism, the fundamental thing is love God with your heart, with your life, with your understanding, and in the same way, in the same level, love whoever is around you, your human fellow. Love. This is fundamental. The Bible doesn't only teach us about God, but also the Bible we learn about ourselves. Not only about God. Not only about Jesus. Not only about the Holy Spirit. God. But about ourselves. And one thing that we learn about ourselves is that we are sinners. And sinners make mistakes all the time, a lot. Intentionally, not intentionally, we have this tendency to make mistakes. The Bible says so. And one big mistake that we, and that is also in the Bible, is that humans have these things about to know good and evil. The professor Guthrie, he defines sin. He says, sin is about the desire to know good and evil, to become God. And that's true. When we think that we know enough to define our lives and somebody else's life, that's a problem. That's a huge problem. Who are more dangerous than people who are sure that they know both for themselves and for everyone else what is good and what's not good? These are words of Professor Guthrie, Schiller Guthrie, Presbyterian, a Christian like you and me. So if we are so susceptible to sin, if you are sinners, and if we have the tendency to switch God for ourselves, if we are commonly judgmental towards people, how do we know that we are in the right path? How do we know that our options are coherent with the plan of God to our lives? More specifically, how do we know we are talking the talk and walking the walk in terms of living, being practical about our faith? Because there is a discrepancy about what we say, about what we think, and how the way we live. So how do we know that we are living, being practical, showing the world what we believe? And this is the deal. This is the picture. Jesus and the disciples are going to Jerusalem. They are going to Jerusalem from Judea. In the middle of the way, two of them, John and James, they approach Jesus. Master, I want you to see the picture. I sometimes laugh about this. Master, we have a favor to ask you. And Jesus says, okay, what's the favor? Give us power. We want to be powerful. We want to have position. In other words, we want you to put us, one at your right, one at your left, positions of power, the political view of that moment, when your kingdom comes. We want to be powerful. And Jesus, he says this. Jesus is God. God says so, says this. What are you talking about? Isn't it? What are you talking about? You have no idea what you're asking me. You have no idea. I laugh on it. Because it's true. It's true. Give us power because we are following you. Give us power because we are part of the church. Give us power because we believe that. I mean, your kingdom is a place where power should be displayed. Here, at this moment, I, Gerson Roca, I identify with John and James myself. Why? Because here, John and James are showing their background, showing who they are and showing a clouded view about what is essential as they follow Jesus. They are missing the essential. They are missing the teachings of Jesus Christ. They are human beings. They are sinners living in a society with values of power and position. 2,000 years ago, very similar to our days here. A little bit of background. John and James are sons of Zebedee. We know they came from a well-to-do family because their father has employees. He has a business exploring the fishing industry. It's to imagine it that John and James would share the same lifestyle as their parents have and the sense of opportunity as well. There is no doubt that John and James are sincere. They are sincere. Not only them, but also the other 10 disciples. They are sincere in their desire to follow Jesus, but they are betrayed by who they are. And they ask for power, for position, because they are convinced that Jesus will soon become a magnificent, super-duper king. They don't go beyond this idea. They see what they were instructed by their background to see. That's what they think. They want a power because they see Jesus as a political king. John Calvin, not myself, he says that at this moment when they approach Jesus and ask for power, this is a narrative that contains a bright mirror of human vanity. It's true. How many people approach Jesus because they want power? They want light. How many people? So before their request, Jesus says, "You do not know what you're talking about. You do not know what you're asking." There is personal ambition on James and John's hands. And also, they missed the point, the essential point, and they formed a phantom in the air. I want to believe truly that whoever approaches God with a personal ambition for power and position, I believe that God would do something like this. What are you talking about? Truly, truly, I believe. And Jesus says, "Can you drink the cup? The same cup I drink? Or can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" Jesus corrects them. By cup, Jesus is saying, it's a metaphor. He says, there will be annoyances, afflictions as you follow me. And by baptism. Also, the force of the metaphor is clear. Jesus says, you have to renounce yourselves. This is what the kingdom is all about. There will be unpleasant moments. And in order to face this very well and do your job, you have to renounce yourself. And Jesus, he adds something that is so deep. He says, there are things, whatever goes beyond this point belongs to God. And only to God and to God, God's self. And so many characters in the Bible, Job. Job, he would ask God about a lot of things, and God would respond in 42 questions. He didn't understand anything, Job. There are things that belong only to God. And the other disciples, they get mad at John and what's the name of the other brother? John and James. Because they want the same thing. They want the power. So they get mad at them. They are upset with them. Because they also want power. They also want position. And I truly believe that I am like that too. So I have to watch myself very well. Because I'm part of the church. I'm also a disciple. I'm a sinner. I'm a human being. So in order to make sure that everyone is in the same page, Jesus measures the differences between the values we see in the world and the values in the kingdom. Because he, himself, Jesus Christ, God, who became flesh and came to this world, because he came to serve, that's our job. That's the disciples' job. That's our faith. That's what we are supposed to do. That's what we are supposed to do. To serve. To say, I don't have gold, I don't have silver, but I'm here. I'm here. I'm here, God, to serve the church. I'm here to serve my fellow humans. I'm here to serve. Among other aspects, the church understands itself as a community of disciples. We are disciples of Jesus Christ, and we have a very distinctive role in the world. We are holy people. We were called by God, and to serve our fellow humans in the same level. It's impossible to serve God here and in the other hand, unserve somebody else. It's the same level. I'm not saying that. The Bible says so. We are a community of people who knows they are sinners, freely admit that they are not good or superior, and take responsibility for their sinfulness. Take responsibility without blaming someone else. This is also words of the Professor Guthrie. Our role is to bring Jesus into this world, even by using words, if it's necessary. We have to display who Jesus is by showing the world, by actions, by attitudes, not only by words. And to perform this task of serving the church, serving Jesus Christ, serving our fellow human beings, there are some points that we should keep in mind as church and individually too. First, God is God, and that's it. Nothing less. God is God. And we know God in Jesus Christ. And God came into this world in Jesus Christ to die, to serve for me, to die for me, to serve the church, to serve you, to die for you, to die for the whole humankind. God came to serve, and that's what we should keep in mind. Second, there are things that belong to God only. For example, the temperature of the hell or the furniture in the heavens, discussing things like that belongs to God. We don't know. We don't know. There are things that belong to God only. Another thing that belongs to God is the judgment of sins. God is the one who will judge the sins. He's judging the sins already. The church was not called to judge people's sins, inside and out. Nobody was called to do that. God, and following God, that's what we have to do. That authority was not given to us. How can we judge someone else if we are sinners ourselves? Third, we are a community of service. We serve God. We serve each other, and we serve the world. It's important to know that we meet with Jesus Christ and with each other only in our submission, in our position to serve, in our humbleness. It's important to understand that the way we perceive ourselves as church, individually too, this way that we perceive ourselves cannot be dictated by our different backgrounds or by our mission as a professional or whatever role the society has given to us. The way we perceive ourselves should be dictated by our mission as a group. We are sinners. We tend to commit mistakes. We hear many voices in life, but we follow just one, Jesus Christ. That's true. During the period of our lives, we collect, we store so many things, not only in the shed, in the closet, here too. So many things we collect. And those things do contribute to our understanding about ourselves. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we must be very aware of those influences and focus in what is really essential. We have to stick with the essential. And what is essential? What the Bible says about God, about ourselves, about people, and about our mission. And the Bible says this morning, our mission is to serve. We serve because we have put ourselves apart. We deny ourselves, and we should expect sometimes some afflictions and annoyances too. We live our faith as we serve the church, and the church is people. So, because we serve, or because we live our faith by serving, I have a simple question this morning to the church. What can I do for you? What can I do for this church? What can I do for our presbytery. What can I do for the whole Presbyterian Church? For the Church of Christ, what can I do? Let me know. Let me know. So it's fundamental that this morning we think about what is essential and to perform our faith, to be practical. That is just one answer. Serve. Serve the church. In serving the church, you will be displaying the face of Jesus Christ to this world. May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you. Amen.
Please stand and join with me in our affirmation of faith. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives. Even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, Come, Lord Jesus, with believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please join with me now in our times of tithes and, tithing and offering. all the wonderful gifts and blessings that you have given to us in our lives, we are thankful. We pray that all of these gifts and blessings go back to your church and to serve your word and your love in the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'll say the benediction in Portuguese, which is my first language, and also in English. Que a graça do Senhor Jesus, que o amor de Deus o Pai, que a comunhão e a consolação do Santo Espírito do Senhor estejam com todos vocês, meus irmãos e irmãs, e com toda a Igreja de Cristo espalhada pela face da terra, hoje e sempre. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, so intense love, the presence, the teaching, the power, the strength of the Holy Spirit, be with you, my sisters and brothers, and the whole Church of Christ spread all over the world, not only today, not only tomorrow, but forever. Amen.